Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Cynthia Kiss.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens. And we are back with another week, another day, another dollar.
Another slay, another holler.
Another slay, another holler. Season 4 of Canada's Drag Race is over. We have got all of our content pumped out. Venus's interview, the finalist interview is all out. I desperately miss my Thursday nights with season 4. But how are you?
I thought you were going to say you desperately miss me. And I was like, no, you don't. You get extra Cynthia.
I get extra Cynthia.
Yeah. We're actually recording this episode in person, which so rarely happens.
Well, we're in the middle of our tour right now. And when this comes out, we will be, hopefully have announced the March dates.
Yeah.
But we are, right now, we have just done the Vancouver and Victoria shows. And then we are going to be on our way to Edmonton and Calgary in a few days. Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
I have been having so much fun.
Me too. I love the show.
My favorite part about this show is the fact that it starts at 8 p.m.
Ends at like 9:30, 10.
Fabulous. We're in bed way before midnight. This is not a regular drag gig for us.
We finished the show in Vancouver and de-dragged really quick and got food. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's not even midnight.
It was like we finished our meal and it was like 11 p.m.
It was exhilarating.
I'm obsessed.
I love it.
So if you like a polite 8 o'clock show, Ontario, we're talking to you.
Coming to you.
We're coming to you. It's going to be fabulous. Tons of laughs, great special guests, and honestly, some iconic mixes.
Thank you.
Juicebox did the mixes. She
Everyone seems to really enjoy the mixes. I'm very proud of myself for them.
Thank you. It's like a hidden talent you have.
Thank you. I love a good mix. Yeah. I want to add some whip cracks.
Whip sound.
Yeah, but I feel like the show is a really fun kind of layout. Like everything about it is very, it's a unique show where it's not like a traditional drag show. Like it's not like you go and just watch a bunch of numbers and call it a day. I feel like we've added a nice special twist that has our like little semi-qualified queens flair to it.
Even the fact that we start at 8 and on time.
It's just is on not, time
is not a regular
huge.
Drag show.
The latest we've started is like 7 minutes past just to make sure like everyone was settled, but like we are prompt queens. We are not starting 30 minutes later.
Mm-mm.
You want to see me have a panic attack in a dressing room? It's us starting 30 minutes late.
Absolutely. We have time integrity here on this tour. How have you found sharing a hotel room with me so far?
Very easy,
right? We're doing okay.
No, we're fine.
We're trying to save some money on this tour, so we're staying in one hotel room together. And I was a little scared at first, but I think you taking the further bed was a great strategy.
Yes, I'm a little messy.
You spread out.
I spread out, yes.
So as long as that happens on the one side of the room, and I don't have to walk through it.
Yeah,
we're good.
Well, because my mess never ventures to a bathroom. My mess stays secluded to where my suitcase is. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I have been trying to be good.
And speaking of bathroom, I'm packing matches for the rest.
I poop a lot.
For the rest of the tour, and then we'll be good.
Yes. But I will say, I have been having a lot more fiber, so I've been fine.
Good.
I was having a particularly rough day during the Victoria show. So we'll just pack some matches.
Pack some matches.
Let's pack some matches, you know, just in case.
Speaking of things that are going to be fire, today on the podcast. Today on the podcast, we have a very, very special guest, very talented actor, host of a new CBC Gem/CBC program, Ghosting. It's none other than my brother, Matthew Finland, is going to be on the podcast today.
So excited.
This is just so cool. The fact that, he has a project that we can speak about. I'm actually in this show. Mm. I'm on episode 8 of 8. But
the finale?
The finale.
Oh.
It was a strong episode. It was really, really fun. So we're going to get into the experience, all things ghosting right now. Should we call Matthew?
I think we should. But before we do, I just want to let everybody know that I am so excited to watch the dynamic between Cynthia and her brother. And I just desperately hope they fight.
Desperately. Think we're going to fight?
Me and my brother fight, but fight like brothers do. So I want to see if you have the same dynamic.
We fight like waspy white women.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay, I'm gonna go text Matthew, see if he's ready. We are so excited to have Matthew Finlan, the actor, the host, my brother, on the podcast today. Matthew, welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. Hello to all the SQ cuties listening out there. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here, Cynthia and Juice.
Oh my goodness, this is so cool. I'm just kind of having like a what is life moment.
I know, it was as soon as you started doing the intro, my stomach dropped and I got a little like nervous. I wasn't nervous 2 minutes ago when we were talking, but now I'm like, this is so surreal. It's kind of like when you-
This is so surreal.
Yeah, my gosh.
You were going to say like when I actually came on set for the show.
Yeah, but I didn't know if we'd announce what we were talking about today.
Oh, no, we already did it before you came on.
We did a little blurb. Yeah, no, we've told the SQ cuties. So I'm on episode 8 of Ghosting. There's 8 episodes. It's going to be on CBC Gem. Can you describe to the SQ cuties what this show is?
Yeah, okay. So in short, I'd say the show is kind of like The Simple Life meets BuzzFeed Unsolved. So you'd basically be watching Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie go ghost hunting with their friends. So myself and Luke Hutchie, the co-creator, co-executive producer, and co-host, we both do a lot of scripted acting work in horror. And we thought it would be really funny to leave the script behind and step into our own life thriller to see if we're as brave as we pretend to be all the time. And then just ask our famous friends to come with us. So, yeah.
Totally.
I love it.
Now, has the paranormal always been something you've been interested in, Matthew?
I feel like you know the answer to this, Cynthia, but I love that you're leading me down this road.
Absolutely. It was technically I was supposed to ask that question, but okay. Cynthia just grabbed it.
It would make more sense from you.
Literally started it, and I was just like,
that's not a question for me to ask. Yeah. I know. Yeah. But tell the SQ cuties, you always love ghosts. You've had your Ouija board.
Yeah, except fun fact, on the show, we weren't allowed to call it a Ouija board because Hasbro owns Ouija. So they wouldn't give us the rights. They're really stingent over who gets that. So we use a spirit board. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like the tissue to Kleenex. But yeah, I've always been obsessed with the paranormal. And I think that's because growing up, like doing a lot of theater and being like a little theater kid, they say every theater has a ghost. And there was the Peterborough Theater Guild actually has a resident ghost. And when I was young, I'm convinced I had an experience with him, Chappie, the caretaker. Shout out to Chappie if you're listening. And thank you. I knew. Yeah, it's kind of like White Noise, that movie. They listen to radio waves.
Yeah, Chappie's an avid listener. He's an SQQ.
He stands. Yeah. and so since then, I just like have believed, and then I got obsessed with like Paranormal State, Most Haunted, BuzzFeed Unsolved, of course. And then when this idea came up, it was like, it felt like a Slumdog Millionaire moment where something you had been planning for your whole life, but not knowing it, sort of synergized with an opportunity where it was like, oh my God, what if we went ghost hunting? And I was like, well, I'm a believer. And I also know what tools we should use and all the techniques. And so then Luke was like, well, I'm a skeptic. And that chemistry just worked. And it was like literally from the moment we had the idea, 7 days later, we had a proof of concept shot and ready to go. It was like that's so fast.
Well, that just shows it's in the two of your wheelhouses. Like you kind of knew how to hunt for the ghosts. Mm-hmm. Luke knows how to put on a show together, like all things combined. Super fun.
Yeah.
Like when I was on set, Matthew had so many gadgets and technology to go hunting for ghosts. I had no idea you could use all these things.
Yeah. Yeah. They're actually like literally in my room right here beside me because I had to bring them to things. So I just had like a full arsenal of paranormal paraphernalia just like sitting around here.
I love that. So did you ever have like a ghost encounter growing up? Like you were talking about the theater guild. Did anything actually happen with Chappie? I don't remember you being like...
Yes. Okay. So this was the actual inciting incident. And Maddie Driscoll, she's an actress in Toronto. We were both in a production of South Pacific. I was playing Jerome. Green room. And the reason why that's important is because the kids are only in the beginning, the middle, and the end. And there is like an hour and a half in each act where we're just sitting and doing nothing. So we would fill our time by exploring the back of the theater. And in the green room, there's this oil painting of Chappie on the wall. And Maddie was sitting underneath it. And we were looking at it and we just were like, I wonder if he's here. Like, can he see us? Does he know that we're looking for him? And the golden nameplate at the bottom of the painting fell off and like flew off. To my memory, it like jumped like a flea, but it might have just fallen. But both of us shrieked. We ran out of the room. And that from then on, I was like, someone was there. It's something. It was too coincidental to not be something.
But yeah, it was happy friendly. Also,
I think so. I think very, very friendly. Yeah. Okay. Side note, this is like maybe diving more into our personal life than you want to share, Cynthia.
Oh, we share.
I'm so excited.
The house we grew up in, the house that our parents still reside in Peterborough, is haunted. It's haunted. In fact, 100%. Daniel slept in the room that the previous family's daughter slept in, and she actually passed away in the house.
So I hate that.
Her spirit is there for sure. And like we all have like stories about that place.
I am just letting you know right now, Cynthia, if we ever have a moment where we have to stay at your parents, I live very close to them. I will be driving home.
But we have a pool.
No, I don't care. Haunted pool.
A haunted pool. Yeah, haunted that's actually pool, the spinoff to this show. We're just going to go around to haunted pools.
Haunted pools. Great.
And it's just summer edition.
It's a bunch of just like naked ghosts. Like, ooh.
Exactly.
So with ghosts, would you prefer to meet a scary one or would you want to meet a friendly one?
You know, that's a great question. I would prefer to meet a nice one. Let's be honest. I want to meet Casper more than I want to meet like the nun from The Nun. but like, I think having an experience like either of them would be pretty cool. Like that's the thing. When stuff happened on the show, or when it happens in real life, like, I'm more excited than I am scared because it's like, oh my God, this is actually happening. It's like, oh, I didn't think it was going to work. And then it starts working and you're like, wow. And the fear kind of leaves in that moment. And I think that's really fun because like with Luke and I, Luke tends to put up a really good, brave front and is awesome at provoking the spirits and stuff. And I'm trying to take it very seriously. But then as soon as something works, it's almost like that dynamic switches and I'm starting now to try and get real things and Luke is almost like, oh, I don't know about this anymore, like this is weird, like let's not do this. So that's a fun give and take that happens on the show for sure.
I love it. Now there's a really deep connection between queer people and like horror and the paranormal. What are your thoughts on those and how it relates to ghosting?
Oh yes, I love this. As someone who's done a lot of horror work and actually been fortunate to play a couple of queer roles in like cinema and TV. I think, especially actually Ezra, the series where Luke and I met, it's about a gay vampire. I play like a bisexual witch hunter kind of character.
Featuring Priyanka from season one of Canada's Dragon.
Exactly. Yes. Who was supposed to be on our show until We Are Here banned her from doing unscripted television.
Garbage.
Or just blocked it. Exactly. I know.
What a bitch.
Hey, I loved it. Only drag queen on the series.
Yes.
When I heard that news, I was like, oh no. Shoot. Just me?
Damn. No, it was awesome. It was awesome. And yeah, it does make Cynthia stand out for sure. But in turn, I think, so as being queer and under that whole umbrella, it's all about like other and different and accepting that which is not the norm. And in horror, that's exactly what it is. You're always dealing with an outcast or a quality that's kind of on the fringes of something, whether it's like a little child who's a loner or it's somebody who sees the world through a different perspective, be that they see like ghosts or something. So I think that's one big reason we love to see the other. We also love to see probably straight people get killed and murdered and stuff like that. Like, who knows? Maybe there's an element of that. Where we're like, yeah, fuck you. You deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that. But then also probably just like seeing ourselves through them. Maybe it's a lot of like we hate ourselves, so we see ourselves for a certain way. I don't know. Or it's a way to like reconcile with all of that.
But even with ghosting, like you've really filled it with a lot of queer representation. Like you have Frankie Grande.
100%.
The gayest person in the world.
Yeah. Exactly. America's favorite gay.
Literally.
And his husband, Hale Grande, which is really awesome.
So beautiful.
I think we actually, it might be their first time on television together. Like maybe we're literally breaking molds. No, that was really cool. The fact, so Luke took acting classes with Hale Grande like 10 years ago. So they've just known each other forever. And so that's a really beautiful connection that came in. And then when Frankie found out about the show, he was like, I really want to do that. And we were like, okay, well, when the time comes, please be true to your word.
Yeah, like, you've agreed to this.
Yeah. Hold exactly. me down for a bit.
100%. But it's to your point, Juice, that like, yeah, queer representation was really important to us. Because Canada, a couple of things in this country is like a star system doesn't really exist to the same point. You know, we export a lot of our goods and America likes to claim a lot that happens here. Like Ginny and Georgia, for example, one of the number one shows in the world, 90% mm-hmm. of that cast and production happens in Toronto. And, you know, we have Katie Douglas and Romy Schrader from that Ginny and Georgia on our show. But the guests, including you, Cynthia, do just truly reflect like our friend group. So there's diversity, there is queer representation, and that was just important to us. And so we brought that right into the room from day one. The cast that we pitched is like 90% the cast that we got. So it was just really scheduling conflicts that got in the way of some things.
And we're here. But,
yes, 100%. Yes. HBO. Yes.
HBO, you know, really, really put a damper on that one for a second. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So there were a lot of firsts in this role for you, Matthew. First time producing, first time mm-hmm. hosting, and I lost my virginity.
Yeah. Oh, fab! Good for you, Diva. Yes.
It really helped.
29 years later.
Don't forget your prep. Sponsored by Freddie.
What was that learning curve like for you?
Well, bottoming was tough, I will be honest.
Yes, lube is necessary. Learned
yes.
that lesson.
Very necessary, yes.
Yeah, no, you're so right. It was the first time around the track with a lot. Stepping into unscripted television, too, coming from the scripted world, is huge. And you wear so many hats. And also to take an idea from the sentence like, oh my God, you know what would make a really funny show? All the way to the actual boardroom where you're pitching that idea to... literally scheduling people, like when I was texting you being like, Cynthia, are you available these days to come to Ontario? Can we?
Right.
That's when it started becoming real, mm-hmm. Which was daunting, and it kind of felt surreal all at the same time. And then when we got to our first investigation and we arrived like on the day, we're in makeup, the cameras are there, we're ready to go, and it just says improv, it like this, Luke and I were just riffing. It was so nerve-wracking because it was like, happening now. Like,
yeah, it's no longer a funny idea.
Yeah,
it's like
the
point
joke
of no
that
return.
Went too far. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Totally. It's like us with the tour. We're like, oh my
point
god,
of no return. We're in front of an audience.
We're walking on stage and we gotta be funny.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the only way out is through. I say that all the time. And so
you
it's
do
like,
say
you
it
just,
all the time.
You gotta go through the fire. Like it's like yeah. that's the safest way.
Light yourself on fire.
Exactly. It's so rewarding. I will say, you know, mental health, really had to learn how to balance that in terms of personal well-being as well, because like it's all encompassing. It's not a 9-to-5 job when you're creating a show, then you're also going to be hosting it, and then you're following it all the way through to the edit. So that's been wild, but ultimately I'm so grateful for the people I've met, the team we acquired, all the opportunities, and like, yeah, so...
It must feel
a really long-winded way.
It must feel different than you traditionally being an actor in like a script. It's ready for you. You know what you're saying, where you're standing.
Totally.
You kind
yeah.
of have your scenes, and then you get to go on your merry way and probably just audition a lot for other stuff. Whereas I've seen like checking in with you all the time that with producing, I feel like it's almost been your entire year.
Oh my God, more. It's been more than a year. Like we came up with this yeah. idea June 2022. We,
crazy.
As I said, had the proof of concept filmed same June. Then I went off and we pitched it. CBC was really interested. I shot a couple movies. We were still developing it. Went down to LA to develop it more too. Then we came back. Like it's been a year and a half now, I think. Maybe more of full-time work,
wow.
which is way different. Because when you're an actor, you come in for like 6-8 weeks and you leave. And then you don't see anything until ADR, which is where you just like match your talking up with, you know, maybe there was a sound
funky
issue.
Audio.
And, exactly. And yeah, then you're like, oh, this is looking great. Like, that's really cool. Okay, I guess
we're actually
going
to need you
done.
To ADR this entire interview today. Yeah. The first
yes,
14
totally.
Minutes of your mic were on mute.
Yeah.
So if you could just, for our Patreon supporters, do ADR,
fuck.
That'd be great.
Okay, yeah. That's cool.
Is producing something you want to do more of in the future?
I think so. I think if it's a project like ghosting where I'm really passionate about it and I'm involved in it, and I think it's a way to help my friends and also selfishly my own career. Like, it's not all about that, but like, I don't know that I would want to take a break from acting to produce, you know, say Canada's next great maple syrup maker or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
it, I don't know, babe. That we're gonna audition like a for great that. Show. Like, that yeah? sounds real great. I would watch it.
Okay.
I think love it's those be called... mindless ones. Like, yeah, that sounds
Sticky
fun.
Sitch might be what it is, or something like tree tappers. I don't know. Yeah, something. Great. It's all about the name.
Have you ever watched Blown Away? That show's great.
I love Blown Away, and the company that makes Ghosting is the company that makes Blown Away. It's also the company that makes Canada's Drag Race.
So Blue Ant Media.
Blue Ant Media. Babe, and we're Marvel in the fam. Media. Yes, exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. Did you have a, sorry, this is kind of off the cuff. Did you have a director on set? So were you producing and directing? Or, so somebody else was directing and you just produced and starred in it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But we, as like, and this is another thing I was learning, there are different tiers to the titles. So being an executive producer, which is what Zook and I were, we should bring it back. Luke and I were executives, which means you're involved in all the decision-making. So it's funny that, like, yes, there was a director, but we hired him and we sort of told him not what to do, because that's why we hired him. He comes with a vision and an expertise, but it was funny. It's like, you're in charge. So you're kind of like, okay, make sure we come across like this. Make sure we hit these story beats. And so it's almost like we were not co-directing. I would never go so far as to say that. But we had an influence on the vision we were creating, which is empowering too. And like, I don't know if you felt that, Cynthia, but like on set, we never really wanted to force anything to happen. So it would always sort of be a collaborative thing. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Super collaborative. Like when... But it was fun to watch you and Luke really call the shots. Like, when I was on set, it felt like bring your brother to set day. Like, it kind of was. I really just was, like, sitting back, eating my little fruit stations or, like, craft service
snacks. I know. And I, like, set up the monitor for you on your phone. It was like, literally, okay, here, Dad, you can watch what's
you
happening.
You can play with this so while we're filming the right scenes. Here. No, yeah, it was really fun to see y'all just actually being clearly the top of the list calling the shots. But it would have been a ton of pressure, I would imagine. Like, if you don't know what you're doing, you, like...
100%. There's also an element, too, where, like, Luke doesn't know the history, and I do. So I come in knowing the story.
Historical information.
The historical of, like, the points. Okay. So on top of, like, all of the logistics of what's going on, like, what are we shooting, meal break, where's the cast holding, all that stuff, it's like, also, what year was this building created? Like,
2009.
You know, how long was he alive? Totally. So
did you have a third executive producer to kind of help out with that, or was it just you two?
There were many executive producers, but at that level, they handle other logistic stuff.
On location, like, it's just you two then, yeah.
It was us, and then we had Maureen Riley, who was our series producer. Fabulous. Who was phenomenal. She helped, her roots go all the way back to MTV, so she kind of knew the style of show we were making, that, like,
classic,
run-and-gun reality style. But she also worked on Still Standing, that CBC show, where Johnny Harris goes around to small towns and interviews people, which is a kind of like an element of our show. So we knew she would be great for us. And Brooke Yerksa, she was our first AD. She crushed it. Shout out to Brooke Yerksa. She's on I Have Nothing. She loves that. She's so funny on that show.
She's so funny on that show.
Wasn't Brooke Yerksa Queen's Care for us?
Yes.
Yeah, on she Canada's was on Queen's Drag Race. Care for us. Yeah.
And she's also Yerksa's sibling. So so if I you know, that. I know, all in the fam. And then also Topher McFarlane, he's our line producer. And I didn't quite know how important a line producer was before this, but they handle everything.
Important. Everything. So important, yeah.
Everything. Even I've emailed Topher.
Yeah.
Yes, no, truly. Yes, you have.
Line producers do so much. Now, I am wondering, because I get to work with Cynthia a lot, how does it feel to be power siblings, the Ali and AJ, you could say, of Canada? And what was
Are
it like?
We?
Yeah, that's what it's giving. And what was it like working together, finally, after just growing up together and this being your silly older brother, to then, like, you executive producing and direct and doing all this stuff with Synth?
Side note, I want to know who's Allie and who's AJ after this.
That's up to you too. That's up to later. You.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. I would say, okay, working with Cynthia, we've always talked about wanting to have the worst 48 hours of my life. And if I could get it back, I would.
Because me and my brother fight like dogs. Like, I couldn't imagine bringing him to work and being like, let's do this. I feel like he would just say the stupidest things and it would make me crazy.
But I feel like that was
Cynthia said the stupidest things, and it was great.
I was going to say, I think that was the assignment. I was like, Cynthia, be as stupid as possible.
Oh, I was talking personally, like, I don't know.
Were there any moments, though? Were there any moments where you were nervous for me? Like, nervous what I was going to do?
You know, yes, I was
nervous
for you.
What if I opened the hotel door and I looked like dog shit that day? Like, what if I had done my makeup terribly?
Oh, okay. I kind of knew that that wasn't possible. I knew that you had all of that. Yeah, exactly. Like, I knew that was fine. I think I was nervous the way that, like, a parent is nervous for their kid before they do a recital. You know what I mean? But I knew that, like, my kid was the star of the class. So they were going to do well regardless. But I did feel an added pressure because I was like, oh my God, I felt the pressure too.
I got the guest, so we're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I felt like it was an honor to be part of the project. But then I was like, what if I just shit the bed? Like, what if we do such a bad job? But
I don't think we did. We still recovered. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh no. We made it work.
No. Cynthia crushed it so hard. She is the season finale. So everybody needs to check out episode 8, The Aurelia Opera House. It is bring the house down, boots, thigh high, honey. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever said it in my life. But
I was like, wow. We really went there.
Yeah, you went like,
I'm on a drag podcast. We're going to bring it all out.
I know. I got carried away. It's the pink background. I just was like, oh my God. To actually wind it back, to work with Cynthia was really fun. In fact, it's kind of crazy because it felt like we were just jamming like siblings. And even when we wrapped at like, I want to say it was 3, 4 a.m. sometime, I hopped in the car and we drove to Tim Hortons and I made, like, we got you food and we were still hanging out in the hotel after. So
it was so adorable. We had one of those hotel rooms that
had conjoining
door
rooms
that could conjoin.
Yeah. It wasn't even planned.
It's because it felt like a sleepover. I agree, Matthew. It actually felt like we were literal kids just playing dress up. Only difference was there was like a CBC level production team capturing it all.
Totally. And I think like maybe had it been a scripted show and we were doing a scene and something, it would have been weirder or maybe out of, I don't know. But because it's unscripted and we already have a rapport, it actually felt like a safety net. It was like, I know you so well that I know your timing. I know your bits. I know your gags. But Matthew doesn't actually know Cynthia that well. So it was cool to get to hang out with Cynthia more and see what she's like and learn more about her. And
wait, do you feel like there's a big difference?
No, not a huge one, but there
definitely
is. I
was going to say,
you
do still think there is? Because sometimes I wonder myself what that's like for family and things. Because I moved to Vancouver and started my drag career. I didn't really do it in Ontario. So I often think that you as family, like, this is all so new since Canada's Drag Race. I feel like you all are more privy to Cynthia.
I know. I have a half sister who lives in Vancouver and she rarely comes home.
Yeah. I will say though,
I have to pay her to hang out with me.
And I'm not cheap. It's
a huge tip. You know what I mean? I'm like, come home.
I will say, funny enough though, I feel like Daniel is waspier than Cynthia.
Yes.
Cynthia's a little bit more let loose and Daniel's very just like, ooh.
Yep. I think it's because I consider like when I'm out of drag, that's where I have to do all the like admin planning, like getting my costumes perfect. But then once all that work's done and I get to get into drag, then it's just playtime.
And the Red Bull.
And the Red Bull. And the Red Bull.
And that's episode 8.
And that's episode 8.
That's episode 8. That's playtime.
Growing
I'll
up.
I'll also say.
I won't even dive into it,
but there was a lot happening behind the scenes too, because episode 8 was our last episode of the season, so you were wrapping out, you know, crew members and doing things, and so logistically it was a balancing act, and to have Cynthia there was like, it actually turned out to be a really big blessing, because I didn't have to hide the trueness of the like situation from you. I could just be like, okay, yeah, here's what's going on, okay, so it's a little bit crazy, but like it's all gonna be fine. And Cynthia in True Nature was just like, oh, I love it. I get that. We're still going to have fun. Like, it doesn't matter.
Oh, totally.
Does that mean you were there for like, and that's a series wrap on Matthew Finland?
Yes!
Oh, I love those.
Like, literally.
I love those moments. That's so cute. So, so nice you were there for that. And everybody clapped. Mm. Yes.
At first, I didn't understand that, like, you only clap when they're wrapped for the season.
No, it's a series wrap.
I thought I did such a good job. Everyone started clapping. I was like, I am so good.
Cynthia.
It's embarrassing. That's I'm right, being vulnerable.
Cynthia, kiss, right,
like,
kiss,
I literally was like, I just slayed.
That's
so,
so embarrassing. Yeah.
No, it's.
I mean, you did slay. You did slay, so.
But
it
you
was
don't
good.
Give someone an ovation for an applause
for that. Just a day's work.
Just a good old confessional scene, you know?
Yeah, no.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh.
So funny.
Yeah.
But growing up, did you think one day I would be a full time drag queen?
Okay,
could you picture that?
I told you
for
to
me?
Do Drag Race before you even wanted to.
Know,
everybody who's listening to this
more.
Podcast, you kind of secretly have to thank me for this. Because when Canada's Drag Race was coming out, I was like, oh my God, Daniel, do this. Like, you already were Miley Cyrus. You were Ariana Grande. Like, you've done this. You have the abilities. And then, you know, you're like, I don't know if I'm gonna do it. And then
that Cynthia impression was really on the nose.
Thank you.
That
I've
was
been
really
working
good.
On it.
It was really good.
Guys. I thought I was talking.
It's me, Cynthia Kiss. And okay, but fun fact, when season two was coming around and I was like, you should audition, there was this like Zoom call we were doing with our family because it was right around COVID, and Daniel got kind of weird and I could just tell. I was like, something is up. So
already knew I was on the show?
No, you had already auditioned, but you hadn't
right.
told us. And so you were kind of like, stop, press the ring. And then you were like, so here's the tea. I've auditioned, but they haven't gotten back to me. But there's like a deadline in like a week, and then I'll know. And the deadline came and went, and I just so happened to be in Vancouver working on a different project. And I remember being like, well, did they tell you no? Or did you just haven't heard? And you're like, I just haven't heard. And I was like, I think that's a good sign. Like, normally in this business, if they don't want you, they'll tell you no. And anyway, like 2 weeks went by in a bit. And then we were on the seawall in Vancouver. We were just catching up. And then we were going really far. I remember being tired, being like, we should turn around. In fact, I suggested it. And Cynthia was like, no, let's just keep going. And she
I
was like,
privacy.
Oh my
let's
God.
Keep going. Yeah, come on.
I signed an NDA.
And, exactly. And then it was like, okay, so Matt, I'm going to be on Drag Race. And I remember sprinting so fast, so far, just like ecstatic. And I was like, oh my God. And first question, obviously, was who are you doing for Snatch Game? And yeah, and then the rest was just history.
Who would you do
but
for
I was
Snatch
so
Game?
Proud.
Oh my God,
who would you do? I've thought about this, and I think
aside from your Cynthia Kiss impression,
exactly, you guys. I think okay. I feel like Chelsea Handler could be fun, but she'd be hard. But she'd be fun if you could do it and get in the pocket. She'd be someone you could take the piss out of, and she wouldn't care. But you have to be funny. Also, Sarah Silverman, I think, is somebody too.
Really good one.
Can say whoever you know. What you mean you could just be like, mm-hmm. Oof, you know, or who's the last person? Oh, yeah. Why has nobody done Kathy Griffin?
Oh.
Yeah.
Those That's are a strong.
I
contender.
Always think of female comedians, I think, are awesome because you should bring on somebody who wants to be there. And comedians always want to be on these types of shows. So don't do like you know, I'm a goddess from some century you don't even know about. Like, yeah, that's funny and it's clever. But like, I think it's funnier to be like, oh, my God. Because Joan Rivers always slaps. She does so well because she's a female
comedian. I'm surprised
comedian.
No one's done. Who plays Moira Rose?
Oh, Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, Moira
Catherine
O'Hara.
Catherine
O'Hara. Moira O'Hara.
No one's done Catherine O'Hara, and you could just be Moira Rose, and it would be fabulous. I haven't seen one yet.
Oh, somebody has done Moira, though.
People have done
they?
It, though.
Oh, really?
In Australia. Because of copyright.
Yeah, it was Australia.
The loophole, they weren't Moira Rose.
I've never watched.
They were Catherine O'Hara. SQ Cuties. So sorry.
Sorry. I love my Australian sisters, but I just have not.
Can you apologize in an Australian accent?
Sorry for my Aussie sisters.
I know.
Sorry.
We made a real big mistake.
I know.
Bit of a pickle.
I know, you guys.
I would love to see you on Drag Race, Matthew. Maybe you need to start doing drag.
Oh, season 6.
I think I'd rather be a guest judge.
Oh, okay, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Oh my
fair.
God!
When Cynthia starts hosting, you can be a guest judge. That'll be the repayment for ghosting.
Please, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think, like, here's the thing. In drag, actually, another fun fact, SQ Cuties. So when Cynthia was getting ready for Drag Race and I was in Vancouver, she reached out and she was like, I've never put anybody else in drag. I never am done afraid that if I make it to the makeover challenge, I'm going to be like completely lost. So can I practice and put you in drag? And I was like, of course. So I go over and we put a timer on the clock because we're like, it's probably going to be timed. I think we gave you 2 hours maybe or something. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we went for it. And I mean, for your first time putting somebody
in drag.
You
kind of looked like our Aunt Mary.
Yeah, it was weird. And maybe I'm just scarred from that because I was a little bit like, I'm not as pretty as I want to be.
Oh, but no.
Beloved, if I ever do it, you'll be quite pretty. You could
turn Matthew out.
You have very big eyelids. There's a lot of surface area, high cheekbones.
Okay, cool.
Matthew actually has better eyelids for drag than I do.
Cynthia has a lid the whole time. Yes. Yeah,
I have a really hooded.
You have lids like a little bit more like mine, so you'd be quite pretty. And I'm gorgeous. Okay. Not as pretty as this.
Yeah,
hog,
you're stunning.
Thank you. But, yeah.
Okay, please put me in drag because, like, yes, yeah, it looked a little bit like our aunt. And I think, honestly, we were going fast. You didn't really block my brow. We just, you know what I mean? We were just going for it. So it was all not to throw Cynthia under the bus.
At the time, my makeup skills weren't as strong. Like, I didn't even really know how to blend. Like, I didn't understand the idea of like diffusing pigments. So it was very paint by numbers. And then even the lash, I remember you being mad at how high I placed them or something. You were like, this isn't my
I don't think
eyes.
I was mad. I don't think no, I was mad's mad. The it wrong was word. Not hostile at all.
Unimpressed.
We were having fun.
Matthew, you were pissed. You were yelling at me. You broke my glasses.
I haven't been welcomed back, actually. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But back to ghosting. I know we went on a fun little Drag Race tangent there, but what is next for the show? Like, what do you want to see for the future of ghosting?
Oh, that's, I want to see people like it.
I'm sure they'll like it.
That's what I want to see. Because we're just sort of creeping our toes into the possibility of a post-mortem about the season. So we don't really know about like a season two yet. We just want to successfully roll out season one. If people like it, to be clear, SQ Cuties and everybody who's listening, this is just my wish list. There's no legs behind this idea. I think I just got to say that for legal. I would love to see Ghosting go either internationally or across Canada. I think
Canada
would be
so cool because a lot of the locations were Ontario, right?
They all are Ontario.
They are all
the
Ontario.
Idea. Yeah, we had one per province, and that was the idea. We were going to do this mega cross. In fact, we kind of thought, Cynthia, we would investigate in Vancouver with you. But the Ontario tax credit is amazing. You can only get your budget to go so far for a season one when you're still learning how it's working. In subsequent seasons, we would sort of know where to spread the wealth and like what matters when and sort of thing. And yeah, there are so many haunted places in Canada. It's crazy. So there are so many.
And you got to have juice on now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
And maybe you can put me in drag while we investigate or like pre-investigation.
I will give you the heads up. I am a tiny little baby who scares at the drop of a pin. So I don't know how brave Cynthia was because I have not watched the episode yet. But I, fact, am not brave. At all.
That would make for even better
great TV. Yeah. Yeah. That was the thing. All of our guests have a varying scale in terms of whether they believe or not, but also like their, what would you call that? Like fright meter. So like some people are really you put them in a dark room and they're like, I'm done. I can't do it.
No,
and then
I'm
some people.
Cheers.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love that.
Oh,
we did make one of our guests pee just a little.
Yeah.
I think she was being genuine when she was like, I just pee.
I am such a believer, and also my like family, like we've had a few encounters like growing up, and then like even now my mom
I'm so curious. I'm like,
there
like
used to be a ghost that would stare at me while I would sleep in my crib, and my brother would point at it and ask my mom about the man that would watch me while I slept, to the point where we had to move out.
Well, that was nice of your parents to move.
My mom and dad were like, we can't live here anymore. my brother kept waking up, going into my crib and being like, "Mommy, why is that man keep staring at Joey? What's happening?" And like keep pointing and there'd be nobody there, to the point where we had to move out of that house because my mom was like, "I can't live here."
That's like the Babadook or something.
It gets, oh,
like,
I hate that.
I guess real. Oh my God.
So I scare very easily. So I just thought that was funny.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. We do like spirit boards and stuff, and like you kind of need that endowment of like belief to, I think, make it work. You know.
No, you got to feel the fantasy. You know.
Did you ever find? Because with our episode, there was like the camera crew, their sound and everything. Mm-hmm.
Every episode had cameras and sound, I will say.
Yes, no, yes. Very professional.
Everyone be cool. Sorry. But I felt like because there was this whole crew around the Paranormal Activity, I didn't get as frightened. Whereas if some of those spaces, if it went, okay, Cynthia, without a flashlight, without anybody, like, walk down this dark, scary hallway. I don't even think I could have done that. Like, did you ever find, because of all of the production side of things, did it take away the spooky factor at all?
You know, I do think it's hard to get ghosts to show up on a schedule. So when we would a lot, like, you know, we're going to be in this room for 45 minutes and you know, you're going to look for the ghost of Margaret. You're just like, okay. And I'm thinking like, fuck, I hope Margaret shows up. And we've got
Margaret,
these,
your call time.
Yeah. Like, girl, we have money riding on you. Is she through processing? So like, I will agree that having the cameras and the sound, they're like, you got a boom mic, you have literally, our director's name is Mike, so Mike is around the corner too, yelling some things out, that would detract from the level of fear. So I think it made us braver. But then when things do happen in spite of that environment, it's kind of crazy, like,
because we did have some moments.
Yeah, there are moments, and like, our crew, as best they would or could, would hide themselves, but of course, like, you know, if you can't see the camera can't see you, so they've got to get some angles. But yeah, there were times when, even though the camera was up in our face, like, these devices go off and you're like, okay, that's weird, that's mm-hmm. just
I love it
weird.
Yeah, yeah, I think I should rephrase it. I was more brave. It's not that the paranormal totally. Wouldn't happen, I just felt, well, like I could handle it.
It's like a group of kids are like, I dare you to do it. And then exactly. they're like, I'm gonna watch you do it. I was gonna say,
they're watching. Yeah. It's not like they're with you in that hallway. It's like they're just down the hall. If anything, it would make me more scared because they're far away and I want to be under one of their arms.
Oh, shoot. I was trying to make you feel better about
no!
I was trying to get you ready for the show.
No, it makes it worse. Because they're like, yeah, you go do it. And I'm like, you do it.
Yeah, they're like, way down there. Way down there.
What we don't want to go down there.
We would always do shit that they didn't want us to do. Or not that they didn't want us to, but they, by like your episode, Cynthia, they just knew that if there was an area that was off limits, we were going to go to.
No, you must. Like, you have to.
Exactly. Like, even in this cabin, we discovered a trap door that was underneath a rug. And they didn't tell us about it at all. We're on camera and our guest, Kevin Alves from Yellow Jackets, he's like,
oh, cool.
Are we allowed to go down here? And I was like, yeah, it's our show. Of course we can go down here. Like, let's go. Like, so that
Mike's
was
like,
really
all right,
fun.
Cut.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, nope, no, keep it going. And that's, you know, speaking of calling the shots, like, that was a moment where, you know, executive producer overriding right now. This is good TV. Like, you know, we have insurance. We can do this. Let's keep going.
Oh my God. I would not go down. See, I think I'd be a bad guest because I'd be like, I'm not going down there.
That episode is crazy. We go to because Kevin's from Yellow Jackets, we're like, okay, you're used to like a creepy cabin in the woods. Let's bring you to a creepy cabin in the woods. And there's a demon that's in this cabin and you have to check it out because wait, when is this episode coming out?
You'll be like mid-Feb.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's already dropped. The series has dropped.
Yeah,
people are up. Oh my God. Okay, well, I hope you guys have been enjoying the show.
Is there a spoiler alert coming? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this demon knows Luke's birthday, which is crazy because Luke's a bit of a skeptic. So when this demon, like, And I'm telling you, like, Luke starts throwing out some false dates, being like, is it this day? Is it that day? Is it this day? And then he throws out his birthday, and it's like, and knows. And we all just start laughing because we're so uncomfortable. It's, like, crazy. Yeah.
I would find God and start praying.
Like, we tried. We were in a giant salt ring to protect us, but, like, yeah, it was getting crazy.
Oh, my God. What if somebody gets too scared? Like, can they take a break?
Nope.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, if they really got too scared, they could say,
I was begging the whole day. I was like, Matthew, I'm too scared. You're and he looked so at annoyed. Me and said, no, Cynthia, I'm giving you this once in a lifetime opportunity to be
Don't
back on TV.
Don't ruin this for me. Yeah. Don't Cynthia was all like,
for me.
Matthew, I can't. I have to take a break.
I was like, stop yelling at me.
Stop berating me. But just to kind of wrap things up, I just have one final question, and this is the most important one, I think, out of all of them. So I just need to know, what is scarier in life? Is it ghost hunting or living with Cynthia before she's had her coffee in the morning? You know?
Okay, there are two parts to this answer. I would say Cynthia before she's had her coffee, if we're going back to when Cynthia was in high school, is what I would say.
Fair.
Yeah, teenage hormonal Cynthia.
If we're dealing with teenage hormonal Cynthia, see, that's when we didn't get along. That's when we would clash. You know what I mean?
That's when we couldn't have done a TV show together.
We would have made different kind of TV at that point.
Yeah.
Talking Salt Lake City.
WWE.
Somebody would have been a ghost by the end of the episode, and it would have been one of
That's my opinion! That's what would have happened, for sure. Yeah. And then otherwise, now I'd say ghost hunting, for sure. Because, like, we're going into, like, some of the oldest buildings in the country. And kind of to your point earlier, Cynthia, you're talking about with the cameras. What's cool is when the cameras are gone and we're wrapping out at the end of the night, I would be one of the people to do the last pass of the property to be like, okay, do we leave water bottles, batteries, trash, anything? And that's when it's weird, because you can sort of feel the energy of these spaces changing a bit.
It's like ghosts are coming back up to play.
100%. And you kind of feel like, okay, I'm being watched now, but for a different reason. Like, we go... This one episode, we go to Hamilton, this place called Ockmar Manor, beautiful summer home estate turned into a nunnery, and now it's abandoned.
Ooh, so I'm it's like none this, of that.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And that basement, creepy. It was like catacombs that just kept going. And I did like the last pass, end of the night, and I was like, something's here for sure. Mm-hmm. This is creepy. I hate it. That was also a building that, like, the caretaker was like, yeah, you know, like, sometimes if you hear something, it is a person who's broken in, and they, like, they've stripped the walls of copper sometimes, like, they come in. So you'd be like, I could actually be being watched right now from somebody who's, like, and it's a big enough house, like, it's huge that it would be possible for somebody to sort of cat and mouse us while we were in there. Nothing. Actually, there was one guy who came onto property. With the property, and I told security and was like, yeah, that man with the duffel bag, he's not with us. And
they're
like,
man, no. With the duffel bag, nothing he had a duffel good bag. Comes from a duffel bag.
No, nothing good.
A duffel bag and a camcorder. And because it seems like it's an abandoned property that people sometimes explore, so I think he just was coming to explore for himself. But because of the camcorder, the security guard thought he was with us, and we were like, no.
Well, you hear that,
he's a much smaller
you hear that, Juice? Even my caffeine addiction.
Not as scary as you think it is.
It's not as scary as you think it is.
Not as scary as you think it is.
I told you.
But this has been so fabulous to hear all about ghosting. I'm super excited to watch it because I was not there, so I get to experience it on the big screen. but super, super excited to see. Thank you so much for being on with us. And it was so nice to see your dynamic. I was hoping you two would fight a little bit more, but absolutely love the lovey dynamic, which has been super fun.
I just want to say that mom and dad love me more than you. I think that's
the
fair.
Middle child syndrome speaking right now.
Just give it to me, even if it's not true. Matthew, I'm so proud of you. Watching you take on this role as producer in this role has been, I don't know, just so cool to watch. I just think you're all grown up, and it makes me super proud to watch. So I want it on record on the pod. I want it on record that, mom and dad love me more.
Of course, of course. Yeah, the pride you feel for me is probably the pride that mom and dad have watching me when I achieve these massive things.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. I love it. I love that, you know, you got on a show and I got my own show made. Like, it's like, it's kind of like a thing. Like that. That's sort of.
Thank you for this. Yeah. I love this. Thank you. I appreciate
it. I think we gotta give Juice a little something. Thank you.
This is for me. I just want the listeners to know this is for me.
And then one more time for the SQ cuties, because we know they're gonna tune in. Yes. How are they gonna watch this show?
Okay, yes, SQ cuties, listen up. You wanna go to cbcgem.ca and search Ghosting with Luke Hutchie and Matthew Finland. All 8 episodes are available January 26th, so you should be listening to this well past that point. What are you doing listening here? Go watch an episode. By the way, it's free, you guys. So if you don't watch it, I will take it as a personal insult. So just
especially
check it
if
out.
It's free.
Check it out. Yeah, exactly. And Cynthia's on it. You love Cynthia. Go support her. She does a little musical number. You want to see it. It's good. It's a time. Yeah.
Well, it was the highlight of my year.
She did talk about it quite a lot. She was very excited.
It was the highlight of mine. It was crazy.
Girly.
It was crazy.
So much fun. I love that. So yeah, I'm crossing my fingers and my toes for a season 2 and getting this girly pop on an episode. Juicebox.
Exactly. After talking like this, I don't know if I feel, I think I'd be too scared. I don't know.
It makes me want you to go on even
more. I love that. But thank you so much for having us on. Thank you so much for being on.
You guys, thanks for coming on to the show. It was so lovely having you.
This has been...
I wish you best of luck on Canada's Best Maple Syrup. You guys, you're going to be a fun team to watch.
Thank you. We'll tune into Ghosting and we will talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, Matthew.
So much.
We're back.
Back. That second whip sound was a ghost. Juice, you have to be on this show.
I would love if I could be on that show, yes. But I feel like I was not exaggerating with how easily I scare.
That's what would make it so funny.
I know, but I'd be so scared. What if it comes home with me?
SQ Cuties, after we recorded, Matthew showed us this photo of wet footprints that appeared in his room after they recorded a certain episode and the ghost had drowned. So it's like these wet footprints showing up in the hotel room.
I hated it.
Extra creepy. And they were like little feet and it was creepy out of 10. Like
creep-tastic. Hated it. Terrifying. But fun little interview. Loved seeing you two together. So cute.
Siblings. You wanted more fighting. I'm sorry.
I wanted more fighting.
We're too polite.
I was hoping that because if me and my brother were on a thing together, it would be near constant poking and prodding at each other.
Well, at the end, I was like, by saying that the parents love me more, which is not true. They actually are obsessed with Matthew. Probably. I was going to get a reaction out of him, but he kept it cool and collected.
Well, he kept it cool and collected, but he threw you a bit of shade. But
he did. He couldn't help himself.
He couldn't help himself. There was a bit, but it was just funny. It's just funny seeing the way that some siblings can react because me and my brother have a very different relationship than you and your brother, but you two are, you're like waspy white women.
Literally. I was not kidding.
Both were just like, it's like you were having tea and crumpets.
Well, yes.
Oh my god, yes, and it was fabulous. And then this is me and my brother would be like, you're ugly and weird and bald, and I'd be like, I fart on your pillow every night. Like, that is how we would have spoken to each other, you know. But Ghosting seems super fun. Really excited to see it. I do love the idea of that it's the simple life meets ghost hunting.
Totally.
It's super fun.
It is definitely, even when we were on set, there is the paranormal aspect of it, but then everyone's just taking the piss and being silly at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so campy that there were certain times when I was like, are we allowed to like be this unhinged in front of cameras? Mm-hmm. And they were loving it. So it's a really fun show.
That's a super fun show.
Everyone check it out on CBC Gem.
And it's free.
Free, $0.
Free 99, you know? So super easy to buy. Is CBC Gem available globally or is it only available in Canada?
That is a super good question. If it's not available globally, get yourself a little VPN.
Watch it. Pretend like you're
in
Canada.
I feel like the stands know how to do that kind of stuff.
Oh, no. If they want to watch it, they will. Yeah. You know? So it'll be super easy. And then if not, you're a Canadian listener.
Then you can easily watch
CBC Gem. I have CBC Gem because I used to watch Schitt's Creek on it.
Oh, good pick.
Yeah. And my friend actually has a show called Queens, which involves a lot of Toronto talent. And it's like a whodunit kind of murder mystery.
Ooh, I remember that.
With all drag queens. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My friend was the writer and producer on that. So that's also on CBC Gem.
Cool.
So CBC Gem is a great little app to have, especially if you want to support Canadian talent and to be able to see a lot of free content.
100%.
Mm-hmm. So this episode has been sponsored by CBC Gem.
Oh, I would love that.
I would love that. Yeah, but...
that would be great.
But if you want to be an SQ cutie, you can follow us on Instagram at Semi-Qualified Queens Pod or on Twitter at SQQ Pod. And whoa.
She wants to get through that outro so bad.
Oh my God, that was rough. Or you can email us if you want at semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com.
If you want your voice heard on the podcast, you can record a voice memo at www.speakpipe.com/SQQPOD.
But thank you guys so much for another week of Semi-Qualified Queens. We really appreciate your love and support, and we will see you next time.
Bye, cuties.
Oh, wait.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.